I'm DeWitt Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide educational occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. I'm excited about today's show because we are in week 11 of the 2023 fall semester at Heartland Community College. And I have another emerging adult who is going to enlighten you on some of the historicity of the Pennsylvania and Auburn systems, the foundation of our jails and prison system that we have just recently finished studying and actually was part of our test today. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Mr. Caden Gray. Welcome to the show, Caden.
Thank you. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Just trying to finish this semester on the right side of the foot.
All right. Very good. Having said that, I always like to ask about this time how things are going in terms of you being able to navigate Canvas, homework assignments, the tests, the different things that I have on Canvas. How has that gone for you?
You, as opposed to other teachers, make it very easier for us. Like you, the way to submit the assignments, you just let us email you. It's easier to reach you. Like I have teachers that I can't even email or text. I will have to go through Canvas and contact them, which makes it difficult because it like delays the message. And then, yeah, it's just a pain trying to reach some of my other teachers. But yeah, you, however you had it set up or your method of going about it is perfect and very, very simple and easy.
Wonderful. That's what I want to hear, man. And so you like the fact that you can email me directly. Because usually when I get an email, I usually try to answer it right away that same day and in the same hour if I can.
Yeah, it's just having the mail is way easier because it's like we already are accustomed to Gmail and stuff or whatever mailing app, and it's on our phone or wherever we go, so we can always have that to contact you. And I will finish my, like, sometimes I will finish my assignment earlier in the week and we'll forget to turn it in, and I'll be able to turn it in while I'm on the road or just somewhere further away from home. Wow. But I wouldn't be able to do that for my other classes.
Wonderful. All right. Very good. That's what I like to hear. The title of today's show is a switch from the Pennsylvania system to the Auburn prison system. So, Caden, let's get right into it. Segment one is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplish this by having our guests introduce themselves. So, if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you enrolled in the course, and give us one career goal.
I was born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan, so it's pretty far from here.
Isn't that where Ferris State is?
Yeah, we're right by Ferris State. Yeah, it's about, I want to say about 20, 30 minutes from Ferris State.
Wonderful. I've actually been to Ferris State because they have one of the only Jim Crow museum.
Yes.
I did some research there for my book on Viola Luzzo. Sorry, go ahead, Caden.
No, you're totally fine. I was surprised you even we're familiar with the area. It's not too many people that know about Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's mainly only Detroit or Lansing. But I went to a high school called Godwin Heights High School, and it was kind of crazy going through my high school year. I had a lot of tough obstacles all through high school. Just things that will make you want to not be, put your all or not give your best effort. And all throughout high school, I was just one of the students where I would just do the bare minimum to get by. Mm-hmm. I would show up like I need to show up. I would not get in trouble. I would just not do the, I wouldn't do any of the homework assignments. I would only do the tests and quizzes. And it was kind of weird how I would be able to pass and almost like get at least a B on almost all my tests or quizzes without studying or without paying attention in class. And I don't know why I was just so stuck in the thought of no college after high school. I just wanted my college, my high school diploma, but after high school, I was planning on working, being a blue collar worker, and some way, some shape or form, I'll find my way to having my own business. But after getting out of high school, I graduated in about 2022. And it was like not what I wanted. I was working my butt off. I was waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning, getting out at 3 or 4. I was making really good money, about $1,000 a week, but it was like, it was just very, very straining. And it was like, I don't know if I want to do this for the rest of my life. So
what were you working?
I decided, I'm pretty sure you know, it's called Cisco. It's a factory.
Oh, okay.
Where they provide food all over the world. Yeah. So I was just unloading trucks, driving forklifts, just hardcore, just working every day.
Wonderful, man. That shows that you have the ability to be a hard worker.
Yeah.
You driving a forklift. Man, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I was working all throughout high school and even middle school. I think I got my first job at 14 under the table because I remember I was doing bad in school and middle school because I was a little behavioral bad kid. So I was doing pretty bad and I went to go play basketball I went to go try out for the basketball team like the rest of my friends. And they told me I couldn't play because of my behavior. And from that seventh grade year to 12th grade year, I worked and all my friends play sports and stuff. And everybody sees me. They're like, oh, you're 6'5". Why don't you play basketball? I'm like, oh, man, I always worked. I don't know what it is. I just always worked. But my major or my plan major as of right now, my major is planning on criminal law. My minor is for sure going to be psychology. I chose this minor because I'm really, really like deep into body language and how people communicate with each other and hide their thoughts and emotions and just how you can read the uncomfortability of someone and just how people feel. And I just feel like that's really, really interesting and how people pay attention to that aspect of things. But yeah, my major hopefully is going to be criminal law. I enrolled in this class because of all of everybody I know. I know of so many people that were affected by the criminal justice system negatively. And like, it just determined how their life went and made very, very hard obstacles for them, even if they made a mistake or not. I just wanted to learn about it more because I didn't know too much about it and the technicalities of everything regarding it. Growing up around people that were in and out of prison, it was, I feel like I knew a little bit. I knew the street terms and the street point of view of things. And I wanted to learn the more professional and how you look at it from an outside point of view. My one career goal that I have now, and this is going to be like a long-term career goal. This is after I already have asserted myself and have became wealthy or not wealthy, regardless, however that goes. But one of my main goals is to provide some form of psychological assistance for young people. And because nowadays I feel like it's very, very suppressed. The like everybody's emotions and psychological feelings is all suppressed to put on a show or just a cover of another book. So I like to, that's what I like to say. You grab a cover from another book and slap it on you and try to act like you're doing good, but it's okay to be experiencing problems and to go through them and express them correctly. Cause I never knew how to get my thoughts or emotions out all throughout high school until my very, very end of my senior year, something like two tragic events happened. And it was like, all right, I got to get some help. Cause I was getting to a point where I didn't even want to be here anymore. And it was kind of hard. So I just want to make that more accessible for younger and less fortunate kids.
Well, that's wonderful.
And families.
That's wonderful, man. The fact that you have overcome some obstacles and had some barriers in your life and overcome them, and you recognize that, you know exactly what they were, and you know what young people are dealing with today, that puts you in a place to where you are exactly right, man. You got a lot of insight. You can actually be a help to someone. Moving on. Segment two, constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. But before we ask you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled A Switch from the Pennsylvania System to the Auburn System. Just for the audience's understanding, I've asked Caden to actually answer some questions regarding the Pennsylvania and Auburn system. So our goal today is to explain to you why the American criminal justice system switched from the Pennsylvania system to the Auburn system. But before we can actually give a summation of why that occurred, we actually need to talk a little bit about two systems. The first question that I wanted Caden to answer is to give me one characteristic of the Pennsylvania system. Can you do that, Caden?
Yes, you know I can, most definitely. When I was looking at the systems, and I actually never knew about these two systems or anything about them even switching. It was all new to me this past, roughly this week. So I just started learning about all of it, but it was very, very interesting on the two differences that they really had. And one of the characteristics of the Pennsylvania system, I feel like they tried to go to more of a psychological approach to incarceration. And it's like the practice of solitary confinement, or the whole, as some call it, the separate system where inmates are like housed in isolation cells for most of the sentence, where they will have very, very limited social interaction, very little daylight, very just little time to be actual human and to just experience new surroundings. And I feel like that's a very, very big psychological role that they tried to play. Like they tried to mess with them mentally. And I feel like it was just more of a very, very harsh mental and physical punishment.
Yes, you right on, Caden, because that was one of the major characteristics of the Pennsylvania system was solitary confinement, and was called Pennsylvania system because it actually, what they aspired to do was bring about penance or repentance. There was a time when, if you can believe this or not, that when they brought inmates in to prison, they would put something over their head just so that they would not see any of the other inmates, because they, like you said, wanted them to be totally isolated. And to your area of interest, psychology, one of the main reasons why Pennsylvania system failed was anytime you isolate, yeah, they have violated the law and they may need to be punished. But anytime you isolate an individual to a cell that is, is only like 7 feet high and 5 feet wide, and you only have a bed and a toilet, and you actually do everything in the cell. You do work for the prison in the cell. You actually eat in the cell. You go to the restroom in the cell. You exercise in the cell. Anytime you do like that, that's going to cause psychological problems. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the main dysfunctions of that system is just when you leave someone to their own devices for so long, especially with them already battling problems, more than likely 9 times out of 10. Inmates are already battling psychological problems or just mental problems in general. And it will be hard for them to even cope with some of those issues as they were already in the free land. It's going to be harder in a 7x5 room. And especially when you're stuck to just yourself and your mind, your thought. And I've seen some, because I'm very big with the interrogation and psychopaths and stuff like that. I've seen people go crazy just off solitary confinement, and there's been studies done that people will literally start hallucinating, and just it becomes a surreal reality for them that it's not anything that I think is appropriate for any human to go through.
Very good. Very good. So that was back in the late 1800s, 1795, the Pennsylvania system. Fast forward to the early 19th century, 1820s, 30s, we have the Auburn system that is ushered in. And can you give us one characteristic of the Auburn system?
One characteristic of the Auburn system is the silent labor emphasis, where inmates were required to work together during the day, mm-hmm. but in silence. They weren't allowed to really communicate or mitigate or even just be friends with one another or just simply just communicate. Inmates were required to sleep in separate cells at night. And the system was, I believe, it was aimed to combine the labor and the pensions, thinking it would lead to lead inmates to rehabilitation. But it was limiting them to social contact and just it wasn't given it wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes.
It was very dysfunctional.
Yeah, it was. There were some differences that were good in the sense that mm-hmm. they actually, like mm-hmm. you said, they had the congregate system whereby they actually got to work outside their cells with other inmates. They got to eat in the cafeteria together with other people. But there were still things, like you said, can you imagine a cafeteria full of grown men not even being able to talk?
Silent.
Having to remain silent in a congregate system. And so those were a couple of characteristics of the Auburn system. And so as time has gone on, people can really understand why we now have the pod system, where you have in jails and prisons, well, in many of the jails, in the new jails, you have pod systems where people get to come out of their cells and they get to actually do different recreation. I mean, you have recreation now in prisons, too, as a result of how things were back in those times, back during when the Pennsylvania system and the Auburn system. But they also, like you pointed out, even though they got to be together, they had to it be in chains and lockstep. They were in striped uniforms and they had to march. And in addition to that, discipline was done by what was called the lash and flogging. Some people might be familiar with flogging. It's similar, and lashing. It's really similar to caning somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that type of stuff and expect people to change. Come on now.
Yeah, and I feel like a big problem with that is I feel like that builds, instead of a sense of authority, it builds kind of like a distrust in the authoritative system. And like you begin to not believe them, but just it would turn the inmates against the correction officers or whatever correction system.
Wonderful. Exactly. All right. Very good. Moving on. The third and last segment. Being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Caden about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter?
This is a very, very big topic that me and my friends were literally just discussing this previous weekend. I believe it was Saturday. We're all in our Halloween costumes arguing. And as of right now, I feel like it has changed a lot, especially over the past few years, and especially with social media. I feel like I don't necessarily support much of the actions that were taken by the Black Lives Matter movement, but I definitely did support the idea and the overall the theme of it at first. But after reading social media in the wide world, like after everything reached a broader spectrum, I feel like it was turned to more of a cultist view of African Americans or Black people. And I feel like it was more of like a way to claim victim in certain situations. I feel like nowadays there's not always that prejudiceness from white people when things go wrong in the outside area. I feel like a lot of times on social media, there's a lot of assumption and assuming people's views on things. And I feel like it's just destroy everything, how people come together now. I feel like it's just very, very thrown out of whack. And I definitely was with it at the beginning, but I feel like it's definitely been pulled out of proportion and changed in a way where it isn't so easy to agree with their movement.
Okay. Organization aside, you moved the organization aside in terms of BLM, the principles, the precepts for which it stands in terms of African Americans being treated with equality. You do believe in that?
Oh, yes, for sure. I feel like there's, in me, in my own experience, I've never, especially being from Michigan, it's a lot of Black people, I've never, ever experienced any type of racism or prejudice until I moved here. I've only lived here since August. I think it was like August 14th. And within, I want to say probably a month or two, I've experienced it already. And like even at jobs, I had a job interview with the guy who was giving me the job interview brought it up and said he doesn't tolerate any of that. And I wanted to say, I didn't even think you tolerated any of it. I didn't even think anything about racism, but you brought it up. And it makes me think like, oh, you probably do have some sort of feeling, but I don't know. I just hate always having to think about that. And I never did back home, like back where I lived in Michigan. I never had to think about if, am I being prejudiced or however you say it, but I never thought about it until I moved here. So I definitely feel like there's a reason to have that view on life and have that view with everything Black Lives Matter.
Okay. All right. Very good. I ask everybody that comes on the show, if there was one thing that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish, what would that be?
First and foremost, healthcare. I feel like healthcare is very, very is very, very hard for us as, especially as minority. We don't get the help that we need. I have a two parent household, but it was more like my mom was the breadwinner. She took care of everything. My dad was more of the disciplinary, more of the he was just there. I don't like to have too much opinion on him now, but, it was hard for my mom growing up because, like, she would be the breadwinner. She would make a decent amount of money, but for two kids, sometimes three kids, and a household, and it was hard to afford any health care. We had a high deductible, so it was hard for us to get any assistance. And it was just very difficult, and it brought us through so many, like, it caused so many obstacles in our life. And us growing up, we weren't able to experience things. We weren't able to have fun and really enjoy some of the stuff that we should have been able to enjoy just because of us having to sit things out because we had to worry about health care bills and stuff. And especially my last year of high school, I was victim to a gunshot wound, and I got no assistance from like me and my mom. We're still paying on that to this day, like let alone the ambulance, like just everything they charge is so crazy, and it's just so unethical and very, very uneconomical for anybody.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Speaking of economics, what's your thoughts on free community college?
I feel like community college should definitely be free. But once you get to that next step, like graduate school, of course, I feel like should be more of you have to pay for it, because I feel like the teachers put a lot more work into that, and it takes a lot more to get to that graduate level. But yeah, community college, I feel like it would offer such a more of a incentive for people that are stuck in life and don't have anywhere to go. Like I know a lot of people back home that are younger than my age that didn't even finish high school, and we were in the same steps doing the same things along the way. And it's just, I would hate for someone to be stuck and to lose their life because they don't know where to go or they don't know what to do. And that's the only reason why I came to school, because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I didn't know where I wanted my life to go. And I still don't. But I know it's going in a better direction than where it was going. And I'm definitely looking at a better light than at the end of the tunnel than I was.
Very good. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States?
I feel like no, because that puts a bad look on us as government. If you have someone at the high level that can't even follow the rules, how does it look on the lower levels? And the lower levels in if people can't follow the laws or the directions at the highest of the levels, I feel like it's going to, I just think of it as a role model. You're going to be a better role model for everyone else.
Very good. What about, should a convicted felon be allowed to vote?
See, that's where I feel like it depends on the felon, like not the felon, but the felony committed and what it ties into and what it is based around. Because not all felonies are bad crimes or harmful crimes, victimless crimes. Most of them are. And I feel like it's just not always a good thing, but I don't really have an opinion because I've never voted and I've never looked into voting. And I feel like it's very, very shady, that side of things. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right, Caden. Well, thank you for being on the show on today. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Historicity of our prison system, the Pennsylvania and Auburn systems, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.